The water is stirred. We're just going to jump in. Somebody shout, jump in. You're just going to jump in. There are depths in God. There are depths in God. You know, yesterday we talked about the fact that there's a dimension in God, which is your dimension. A dimension that gives you the ability to impose eternity on time. So rather than waiting on time, you allow time, you make time to align with you. That even when things are not yet in manifestation in time, your conviction, which is based on eternity, remains the same. I talked about how on seven different occasions, Elijah will insist that that man should go and check up if something is going on in the sky as it regards the prophecy that God is sending rain. And for six different times, the man came back and said nothing. But Elijah was not moved. He said, go back. I know what was spoken to me. And he's sorry that what you have seen so far does not change anything. God said there will be rain. And he said too, there's rain. There's rain. And you know, he maintained his posture, knowing fully well that what God said will not fail. And ultimately, there was rain. But today, we're going to move into some territories as led by the Spirit of God. You know, I quoted from Ezekiel chapter 47, talking about how the water flowed from the right side of the temple. And, you know, and the man walked Ezekiel through the process of 4,000 cubits, 1,000 cubits at every junction of 1,000 cubits. There was some level, some expressions. How many times have we settled for the ankle level? And we're just so excited. So, my God, such a move of God. And God is saying, I'm just starting with you. I want to take you all the way. All the way. All the way. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this year is that we're in a season where expressions talking about the gifts of the Spirit will be so natural in the body. And I'm not talking about people that are going to be struggling the microphone with me on a Sunday morning. But I'm talking about the expressions of the gifts of the Spirit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in your boardroom. Come on. Come on. You know, religion is terrible. Religion tells you when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you know your 10 a.m. service, your 8 a.m. service, listen. If all of us start flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, then there will be no one to teach the word on a Sunday morning. Now, we come on Sunday to be activated. Then we go into Monday to find expression. Is somebody listening to me? When I'm talking about the water flowing out, I'm not just talking about the water landing on some pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. No, I'm talking about every member of the body finding their place, expressing the fullness of the capacity of the anointed one and his anointing as it regards their own office and placement. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. God kept on talking to me about pouring out. He said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Noted, all flesh. Emphasize, all flesh. Not some special flesh. All flesh, all flesh. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. He said, your old men will see vision. Even your young men your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. Upon all my servants and handmaidens, I will pour my Spirit. So it's a season that everyone has the capacity to express Him. It's a season of outpouring. Outpouring. God does not want to be contained. Are you listening to me? He wants to be expressed. And His expression is through you. You are the body. You are the one that gives God expression in your time. John chapter 7 verse 38. From verse 37. John 7. He says, on the last day of the feast. That was the feast of booths. Also known as the festival of tabernacle. 7 days. And on the seventh day, Jesus stood and cried. Is any man thirst? Let him come. He said, he that believes in me, out of his belly. Oh, is somebody listening to me? He said, he that believes. He was not talking about preachers. He was not talking about the great apostles and the prophets. You know, the ones that are special. He that believes. That's all it takes. He that believes. You know, I love. Can we celebrate God's servants? You know, that teaching was just. I love it. Because until you come into an understanding of the work of atonement accomplished in the sacrifice of Jesus, we don't know what we're doing. It's all religion if you don't know what Jesus was doing. There was a reason why he said it is finished. And when he said it is finished, it is really finished. Why can't we act like it is finished? Is somebody listening to me? Because now it is finished, it's not real to so many believers. It's like, it's almost finished. I still need to do my part. No. You only need to believe that he finished it. Lift up your two hands and shout, he finished it. Come on, scream and shout and say, he finished it. You know, he finished it so well that God looked at him and he said, just sit down. There's no work to be done. Sit down till I make your enemies your footstool. Through your body on earth. But as far as work is concerned, no more work. All the work done. You know, I get concerned when I see believers that are so work oriented. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not as if we don't exert ourselves, but primarily, our posture is a posture of belief. We put our faith in the one that finished it. And when we put our faith in the one, things work out. You know, I love how he put it, it's a sponsored life. You are just resting. Are you listening to me? Let me be real. To the glory of God, I've been around for a few years doing ministry. Like I said, I've been in America for 25 years as a missionary. I didn't come here to hustle. I don't hustle, please. If I hate that word, write it down. Hustling is associated with the curse. Write it down. I'm not a hustler. Oh, yeah, I just hustle. I'm not a... Turn to your neighbor say, and ask him, say, are you a hustler? I'm just hustling through life. No, the blessing of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow. Come on, scream it. I don't hustle. You have to pick one. It's either you are blessed or you're a hustler. There's nothing like, oh yeah, combine. No, no, I major in blessing and hustling. Then to make it worse, some people say, God bless my hustle. The blessing makes rich without toy, without hustling. Now you say, God should bless your hustling. You have to pick one. Is it that you want to hustle or you want to be blessed? Now ask your neighbor, which one? Which one? Are you hustling? You have been blessed. You know, religion is terrible. I mean, to the glory of God, I'm a pharmacist by training. But I came to America in 1999, the Lord spoke to me, don't even touch it. If you come to my house, I will still show you my certificate. And the form I obtained, early 2000, the conversion exam, so that I will be able to. And then it was so easy. Just do one exam, FPG, whatever, and bam. You do internship for a few months, and they will pay you $120,000. 25 years ago. So after a lot of pressure, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, let me apply myself. So I got the form. As I was about to start filling it, I heard the voice of God loud. He said, if you fill that form, you are finished. So I brought you here for an assignment. Now you want to become a pharmacist. Again, what I delivered you from. It was a deliverance. I was delivered from... from pharmacy. It was a deliverance.
I was delivered because I don't go back to Egypt.
Have a better plan for you. And ever since then, that has been my focus primarily. And you know, this God is good. I've seen his goodness. I've seen his faithfulness. I've seen nations open. Massive doors. Mind-blowing doors. But you know what? God is saying, we are in a season that every believer must own his or her place. Are you listening to me? You know, I came here because I have a sense of divine call. I didn't show up. I was sent. Do you know what it means to be the church? The called one. The separated one. The sent ones. Anointed on a mission. To serve a generation. To serve a space. To serve a space. But how will you be able to serve the space you've been called to serve if you have not done the work all the way? Now, if you are just dealing at the ankle level, you have not been served. And before you can serve effectively, you must overflow until you get to that place where you are covered up. Somebody shout, covered up. You know, the concept of baptism, you know, it's not just I speak in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is the proof that you are baptized, but it's not the fruit. And a lot of believers have said to you, I pray in tongues. Even some, a lot of times, the tongues are dry. Because it's one thing to have the initial infilling, it's another thing to have the constant refilling. He that believes, you know, Ezekiel talked about walking all the way to that place, that 4,000 cubit point, when it becomes a river. And Jesus said, he said, he that believes out of his belly. Oh my God. In other words, you will not just be in the river, you will carry the river. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Somebody shout, rivers. Now, this conference was not just put together so that you can buy a house, pay your credit card bills, marry a woman. Of course, a man marry a woman. A woman marry. You know, we have to state it now. Okay. Now, all those things are good, but much more, much more. Listen, you know, there are a lot of things that excite you in your 30s and your early 40s, which is okay. But everything changes when you turn 50. I'm a look young, but I'm close to my mid-50s. And something just changed after 50, Apostle. It just changed. It's like all these things you're chasing. I want to buy a big house. That house. I have two kids in their 20s. After they left home, I asked myself, I said, what were you doing? Why did you buy the house that we were so excited about? If I remember the last the day we dropped both of them in school for the first time, we're going home. I told my wife, I said, we're not going back to the house. We check into the hotel. The house intimidated me. I'm like, what am I doing? Only to realize, I mean, we were using 15% of the house. In fact, ask my wife. In fact, it's just recently that we said that we will not sell it. For about 4 years, we will sell today. We sell tomorrow. In fact, after I say I'm going to downtown. I mean, what am I doing in this big house? It's too big. Now, listen, there are a bunch of things that excites you now. But listen, you realize life is much more than that. Do you know if you have to sleep in two rooms One night, you know, you might need to be checked. All this, oh, the master bedroom. At the end of the day, how much space do you need? Now, I said all that to come to this point. You are a spirit. Material things can't satisfy you. There is debt. You know, the apostle was talking about the fact that Jesus died to resolve sin and all the causes and effects associated with it. That's why he died. Now you exist as his body to serve your world. The power associated with his sacrifice. He that believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers. 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 You carry rivers. 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 In different spaces. In different sectors. Rivers. Rivers. Serving a generation in the wisdom and power of God. Rivers, rivers. You know, there is a consciousness that you live for something, you know, so huge that, you know, you cannot mess up. There is a purpose for your life that must be preserved and protected. Rivers. You don't know what you carry. Years ago, well over 10 years ago, I think Pastor Manuel was still my PA there. Remember when I went to India for the first time? Oh my God. In fact, I was intimidated by the church. 30,000 member church. Bangalore. And they were so excited. And to make matters worse, the pastor sat me down shortly after I got there. He said, "You know why we invited you?" He said, "We saw a vision." I'm like, "Okay. What did you say in the vision?" He said, "We saw you. And the Lord told us, our next level is in your hand." I looked around, 30,000. I don't even have 3,000 people in my church in Chicago. And they were so hungry. I would stand before thousands of people. Of course, maybe the first time I was a little bit intimidated. But after a while, it's like they said they saw a vision. So that means I have something. I saw the power of God manifested. Do you know, after I'd minister for 10 minutes, I've never seen that before in my life. The number of people that manifested demons were enough to start a church. They were so much that they packed them. Apparently, they were used to such manifestations. So they packed them and filled a whole hall with them. So as I was finishing ministration, and I was so excited that I'm going to. So they just grabbed me. He said, "Sir, there's a second phase." I'm like, I was told, I was just ministering. I said, when you were ministering, there was so much happening. And so that you'll be focused, we gather them for you. So they took me to a room that was full of people with demons. I'm like, okay, this is a different dimension. Oh my God. My life was transformed. But it did something to me. It made me to realize I have stuff here. Can you imagine if I've been buried in pharmacy? Walgreens somewhere. CVC, or maybe University of Chicago, the Department of Clinical Pharmacology. You know, all those pharma nonsense. Sorry if there's any pharmacists in the house. Pharmacists, it's a great discipline. But listen, it's not just for me. Listen. You know, anytime I go to maybe Walgreens and I see somebody behind the cubicle, I feel for them. How is your life? Because it reminds me of what God delivered me from. But listen, if it's your purpose, stay there. Don't be discouraged. The same pharmacy that people get excited about, I realize that was not me. And I really suffered in school pharmacy. Jesus. In fact, do you know, years after I'd left school, I was still being traumatized. asked my wife, I've been married 10 years. I woke up and I was sweating because I just had a dream that I had finals, maybe clinical pharmacology, which I was not prepared for. Only to realize that, ah, wow, I left school, I'm married, I have two kids. Glory to God. I was that traumatized. And to now realize that you will do all that and God will say, okay, are you done? That's not your life. I've seen dimensions in God that God did not even tell me when I was starting out in ministry some 28, 30 years ago. He didn't tell me. You know, something happened this last quarter of last year. The Lord began to deal with me. My wife can testify to it during the year. In fact, something strange happened. I think I can share with you. I don't know if you know Isaac Abiera, Christ Apostolic Church, you know, massive ministry. You know, it's kind of related to my wife's, you know, my wife came from the lineage of priests. Her grandfather raised Abiera. I won't say more than that. So anyway, so we are kind of related. I mean, connected. We speak from time to time. So I just picked up the phone, like 8 p.m. in Chicago. And I called the number of his first son, Pastor Isaac. I didn't even know he was not in America. So he picked up. He said, Emoji, where, how are you? He said, I'm in Nigeria. I said, okay. And as he picked up the phone, it was like the fountain was opened. And I began to say what the Lord was going to do with his ministry in this new phase, which has to do with his work outside of America, because he has lived in America for about 30 years. And I was saying, you know, this next phase is going to involve Nigeria. Not even know he was already in Nigeria. He said, sir, I've not told a soul I'm already in Nigeria. And I'm still thinking about it, but now there's nothing to think about, because you have sealed it. Anyway, as I was talking to him over the phone, the Lord spoke to me. He said, anyway, that face, he will not do it alone. I said, okay. He said, you have to be by his side. I'm like, ah, which one? He said, this is the season to serve the string that battered you. Because as a young man, as a teenager, my parents took me to Christ Apostolic Church. We saw prayer. December 31st, we start 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., 9 to 10, 12 to 1. That's how we did December 31st. 3 to 4, then 6 to 7. We now do 10 to 1. And you know the most amazing part? Most of the people could not even speak in tongues. And yet they were tarrying the place of prayer. Baba. As a young man, they would take me to Akure those days. Obadare, an unusual prophet of God who could not see with his eyes, but yet miracles all over his meetings. I still remember how my neighbor, who was blind, was taken to his meeting in the morning and was brought back. I was 11 years old. He was brought back. Auntie Muiba, I remember. And her eyes were opened. It marked my mind. I saw miraculous. Not knowing God was preparing me for what was ahead. So, of course, I left CAC as soon as I got to campus. Moved. And the Lord told me, it's time to feed the stream that battered you. So I said, okay. So I agreed, okay, I will preach at Jesus Festival, which was in Ibadan in December. Not knowing God was setting me up. As I stood on the pulpit, heaven is my witness, because the congregation was mixed. It was Yoruba and English. I thought I was just going to preach in English and they would interpret. There was an interpreter for me. Do you know what I realized? After a while, I didn't need an interpreter. Because the same way I would speak in tongues, I could preach in Yoruba for the first time in my life. The Yoruba will not normally speak. I know you saw some of it on Instagram. The Yoruba, I've never spoken in my life. I preached 45 minutes in Yoruba. I cast out demons in Yoruba. I made other calls in Yoruba. I said, what is going on here? minister alongside of president of CAC and the general evangelist prophet Hezekiah, and he was so excited. Went to Oshogbo, did the same thing. I said, "Well," I said, "Lord, you didn't tell me about this part. I've lived in America for 25 years. What am I doing in Nigeria preaching Yoruba? Are there people?" He said, "Just focus. Rivers. There's stuff in you that you don't even know of. But as you walk with him, there are dimensions that will flow forth. You know, I'm not teaching. He taught. I just want to stir you up, stir you up, stir you up. There's more to life that I want to get certified. I want to get married. Get on your feet, get on your feet. You had your pastor's testimony. He was on his way to UK for a soft life. I mean, she had finished school. She had papers. She had a job. Why suffer yourself with student visa in America?" So she came to my office and said, "Pastor, I'm going to be relocating to United Kingdom." And I looked at him and said, "Are you done?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What did God say?" "Yeah, but God said America, but..." I said, "Don't bought it." And right there, I said, "Don't worry. If it's America, then we'll do it. We'll start defiling today." So we started defiling. I said, "Go." And he was going to marry. I said, "Go and marry, but you are coming back. And we'll do this thing together." In fact, we started shopping for a house together. Since it was not planned before, now I've convinced him we're doing it. So we went around. I saw a place. I said, "Ah, no, you're not bringing it." Said, "The young lady, I saw the picture, is too tush. That place looked like hostel somewhere. Looked like a place where war has taken place before." I said, no. So we eventually found some apartment not too far from my house. But do you know, he could have insisted, "I'm going for a soft life. Let's be practical. At least she's already there." And to make matters worse, the one that was settled with a job, we now relocated her to a man. He had a job. He had a job. God was his employer. And we started that work of faith. Do you know, if he has missed God just because of his personal ambition and soft life, you know, their destiny is tied to your apron. When you miss God, you sacrifice destinies. You know, very early ministry, if there was anything that God made me to see quite early, was the fact that I cannot afford to mess up. Because as an apostle, there are destinies whose expression is tied to my expression. You know, there are people, they are not called to have their independent instruction, expression. Their expression is tied to your river. So if you get distracted, you get unemployed. And his work is not just here. It's all over the world. Do you know that? In fact, what he's doing here locally is like a tiny drop of what he's doing globally for the mission. A stream that began with his grandfather that flew into the nations. And God says, "It's your turn to do your part." You have stuff in you. The plan was to go and work for Microsoft. In fact, I think you did internship. He did internship. But God ensured the employment was not confirmed. It was a move of God. It was a move of God. Glory be to God. And she's very smart. She's one of the smartest people you will ever meet. And I'm not saying this because she worked for me. In fact, my first 15 books, she was the publisher. She sat with me. She can do, you know, she's not one of those people that can do anything. Just give her, she's that intelligent. She's been doing it quietly. No gra-gra, no noise. You say, "Pastor, just come to my office. Pastor, I think we can do it this way. I think..." That's the way we're doing it. I'm not that smart. If you said we can do it that way. And yet God said, "Okay, with all your brain, with all your ambition, okay, settle here. And it was not like the future was clearly defined. It was just stay here, just stay here, just stay here, just stay here. It's a pregnant journey. You just have to trust the process. But there's rivers here, rivers, rivers. You know, yesterday I was talking about, I'm heading to denominations. Listen, anytime people talk about it, I look around, I'm like, what are they talking about? To the glory of God, the new, which is one of the strongest move of God in terms of church pastored by Gen Z or whatever. Now listen, it would not start like, oh, I have a vision. It started from a point of view of rebuke. 7 and 7 years ago, when God gave us the apostolic place, God said, you know what? You've done well with your generation, but there's a generation you are not seeing. A generation. I thought we are engaging this. No. He said, before you turn apostles into ushers and turn prophets into choir members, you must do better. I said, okay. This one is, I said, you church. He said, no, it's not a you church. He said, plant a new stream of church. Ah. He said, thank God I have some choleric. So that helped me. I called my elders. I said, even my wife struggled with it initially. It's like, what kind of move is this? Because the structure was very, very interesting. God told me, he said, don't put them under the existing structure. He said, put them directly under. He said, if you put them under the existing structure, they will kill it. I said, okay. Very strange. So I called Shola in Nigeria. I said, Shola, I'm coming to Nigeria. We're starting something. The boy thought it's a fellowship. So he was very excited. Until I said, there's ordination. So the day of ordination, he knocked on my office in Lagos. He said, can we not do? I said, Shola, I'm closing my eyes. If I open my eyes and you're still here, I don't know what will happen to you. So he left quietly. I poured oil on him. The boy, he closed his eyes and I closed my eyes too. If you are looking for somebody who has ordained somebody against his will, but 7 years have proved is a move of God. Is a move of God. Is a move of God. We started as a rebuke. Now it has turned into a river. The new started and it was explosion. Boom! God is too intentional. In fact, at some point, it's like, what's going to happen to King Sword? But you know, the church that battered the new King Sword Ikeja, the last 6 months running into the 7th year anniversary of the new, that church multiplied by 3. And God said, I just want to let you know, you did not miss it. There are things inside of you that you don't have an idea of what it is, but it's rivers. But the question is, are you willing to walk with him all the way? Not just stay at the ankle level, not just stay at the waist level, not just stay, you know, ankle, knee, waist, but go all the way to when it becomes a river. Because until it becomes a river, you can't serve nations. Nations are waiting on you. If you can use this small boy, I'm a boy. I'm still a boy of God. I'm okay. In fact, one of the things God taught me, you know, there was a year, I think 3-4 years ago, God told me, said, go to redemption camp. And I was praying the spirits all over redemption camp. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you know why I trusted this man? He said, do you know why I put so much in his hand? He said, because I could trust him. And one of the secrets was that he remained small in his own eyes. Excited at the things of God, whether it's somebody who just got born again last week that is doing it. I came in as he was preaching, I was excited. It was like I've never heard the word before. Come on, preaching. This is good word. This is, in fact, it's like I should carry him home. Let me carry him home. Because the Lord told me that's the secret. It's not like, you know, you've not reached anywhere and you're feeling like, oh, you know, we understand the dynamics of the spirits and the things going on in the realm of the spirit, the atmosphere. Which atmosphere? God increase your volume so that the whole world can hear you, and now you thought it was your strategy. There's so much waiting on us. Rivers. Somebody scream rivers.
Rivers.
Can you scream rivers?
Rivers?
Can you scream rivers?
Rivers.
Rivers. I'm a blessed man materially, but money is nothing. In fact, the phone in money now is when you use it to serve God. Rivers. Rivers is in you. He that believes out of his belly. He did not say the preacher. He says he that believes out of his belly. This program was put together so that you will go beyond the ankle level, the knee level, the waist level, and get it to the river dimension. River. That's where I'm going. I said all this to come that river dimension. Not just you are in the river. You begin to carry the river. And you are serving nations with your river. You have it. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, not some flesh, not most flesh. Your flesh. You know, I've been privileged to work with a lot of people that God is helping. I can't say God has helped because God is still helping them. And listen, they are regular people that allowed God. The question tonight is, will you allow God? This program, Pastor Emmanuel, the Lord told me, he said, the whole essence is to get people immersed. You know, when you get into that river, you will be cleansed. The Bible talks about the cleansing by the washing of the water of the word. And the beauty, the glory. Hey, Sakataya Shidebele, Masuda will begin to flow out. There's so much in you. But you need to get into the river so that you can carry the river. Are you following me? You need to what? Get into the river so that you can what? Carry the river. Am I getting across to somebody tonight? You must get into what? The river so that you can what? Carry the river. The days of using God, those days are over. Use God to get married. Use God to get house. Use God to get... Who's talking about that? No levels. But carry river to serve a generation. There's a generation waiting on you. Remember, it's not just about the pulpit. You know, as I close, let me say this. The Lord shocked me. Maybe I should have this part. The Lord told me, he said, the first stream that came out of you. He said, that stream focused. I mean, we were so focused on ministry gifts 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I was raising apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. The Lord told me 7 years ago, he said, this new stream will be a stream that will empower people to be effective in the marketplace. Thank God for the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, and the pastors. But they are meant to equip the saints. Are you listening to me? Their job is to what? Equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. So the real people doing the work of the ministry are the saints. But the saints that can do the works of the ministry are the saints that are equipped. And that's why we need a man like him in America now. I'm serious. Sound doctrine. Sound. I hate anything but sound doctrine. I hate it. I hate religion. The other day, I saw somebody, at a grocery store, and I was trying to, comfort him because they lost somebody. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I learned about this. And they said, what can we say? Who can question God? Of course, I had to hold myself. I wanted to say, shut up. Which God? God did not kill the person. The devil is the one that kills. But you know, an average believer thinks like that. Can question God. The devil killed somebody rather than take authority and say, okay, we comfort the family of the bereaved, but we understand this is not God. With long life will he satisfy you. So God is short of choir members in heaven, so now he's recruiting members on earth to come and join him to sing. Religion is sucks. It stinks.
would rather put God in our experience. So now your experience is what defines who God is. The word is not enough. So you know, it's what happens to a man of God or a boy or girl, is a daughter of God, and now becomes the standard of God. Something went wrong. We love him. We love her. But no. This is not God. And you know, with the prayer movement that is going on, as powerful as it is, boy, we're just starting now. Until we get into the world, and that's why God will raise men like him to go all around the nations, so that the depths of the world, now listen, as powerful as leadership principles are, the church is not built around leadership principles. Because there are churches that people know more about leadership principles than the ministry gifts. Leadership principle is not the pillar of the church. The word must be taught. The river of the word, the river of the spirit, they go hand in hand. You can't separate them. The river of the word, strong word. If the word is strong enough, there will be a move of the spirit. It's not possible. You know, he thought the atmosphere was so charged. You have to be dead, not to be alive. Rivers. There's so much in you. But you must do the work all the way. Until you get into that river, then you can carry the river and serve your generation. That is the whole essence of this NICOS conference. It's not exactly convenient, but it's needed. Depth. Walk all the way. By the time this conference is over, you won't recognize yourself. I'm serious. Layers upon layers. You would have walked the first 1,000, the second 1,000, the third 1,000. By Saturday, you are in the river. You are in the river. They will carry you because you are in the river. Then you can serve a generation. Have you been blessed tonight? You know, recently I was listening to somebody that I've known for years in ministry. He was trying to explain 90-minute service, and I sat down there and I'm like, oh my God, Lord, save us. In the name of church growth, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. I believe in church growth, but the kind of church growth that there's no discipleship, what are we doing? Years ago, the Lord spoke to me, there's a difference between church growth and church inflammation. Any part of your body can be inflamed and swells up. A lot of times, what you celebrate as growth is just inflammation that needs to be treated. No discipleship. People without roots, without depth, just doing religion. Anything that will bring more people, let's do it. We are more about PR than discipleship. The perception of the people. Let me close with this. As a pharmacist, at least I have some understanding about how the medical system work. I don't know of any medical system anywhere in the world that the patient walks in and tells you how he wants to be treated. But the church has come to that now, that we feel from, say, feel from, how will you love to have your service? You prefer a 75-minute service or a 90-minute service? How do we serve you? Don't get me wrong. We should be respectful of people's time. But we should be more respectful of people's destiny. Yeah. Than their time. And the people you are trying so hard to get out of service quick, what are they going to do? They're going to hang out in the parking lot. Talking about Arsenal and Chelsea. How Liverpool bottled. I need to say that. Because I follow a team that has been, you know, I've been persecuted over and over. They said we are the Bottley, but all of a sudden they told us it's a Bottley company. I won't say more than that. But the people you are trying so hard to get out of church, what are they going to do with the rest of their time? Ask my wife. The first set of disciples I raised in 1993, 94, 95. Officially, we had 2 services in a week. Ask her, how many services do we have? As many as possible. There are 2 official services, but they are like multiple unofficial services. At times, as a student, I would just go into a room and we'll be talking, and the glory of God will fill the room. And interesting, there was no cell phone then, but what we get out all over Ife, Dr. K is in Mozambique, and people will start coming. And before we know it, I would have shared words for 1.5 hours, and we know we're not done. And they will all follow me, and we'll go to Sports Center and do another 3-4 hours. And people will be talking about that meeting. In fact, people talked about those meetings than the official meetings, because that's how disciples are raised. Have you noticed ministry that they're so strong on, let's get the people out quickly, 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 short service, short service. They don't raise pastors, they hire pastors. Mm-hmm. The people that pastor for them are people that have experiences from other places. It's an employment. No DNA. You know, you can carry depths of God in you, and because you are not in an environment where you can be well discipled, it won't look like it. The Lord told me, he said, it's a season to deepen your roots. That must go in first before the fruits. And that's what discipleship is all about. It's time to go back to true discipleship, where people are rooted, groomed, schooled, taught. Not people that if you have taught more than 45 minutes, they start looking at their watch. The devil does not go on break. So I'm coming back tomorrow to finish this teaching. Have you been blessed? Come on, have you been blessed? If you're going to be involved in work that will last, you must have roots. When I left Nigeria with 120 people in 1999 or less. I go back to thousands now. People say, what is the strategy? There's no strategy. There were 120 boys and girls that were well rooted. And by the time I was leaving in 1999, the Lord told me, he said, don't worry, they know what to do. In fact, it's not like I know so much myself. I was a young man, 27 years old, but discipled for years. We were not in thousands then, but the 120 had multiplied everywhere. So we're not against numbers, but let's deal with the quality first. People that we're going to take through the work, not just the first 1,000 for Labi, not just take them all the way. If you have to drag them, we are going. This 4,000 cubits, we must cover it. It must become a river, because until it's a river, you can't serve nobody. You know, until it becomes a river, you are being served. Your ankle is covered, your knees covered, your waist is all about you. Then when it becomes a river, you are covered. Then you stand from there and you carry the river. Then you can serve your world. There's so much in you. God forbid that you get to heaven and you realize there's a lot you could have done, but you could not do because you stay at ankle level. Just be minister to at the ankle level. It was all about you. And when God is saved, there are nations to be served. You know, when I stood in Ikorodu last month and I saw people getting saved just because I've preached in Yoruba, I'm like, so this river was in me, Yoruba. And you know, it was more exciting for them. This man came from America and he's preaching towards the Yoruba. You know the funniest thing? The moment I leave that pulpit, if he's tried to speak that Yoruba to me, I will understand, but I can't say it. It's one of the strangest things that have happened to me in the last 3 months. When I stand behind the pulpit, I preach in Yoruba the same way I speak in tongues. Without thinking, just flow. 45 minutes. I will never be short of words. In fact, I should have known God was setting me up. I was with Gabriel going to you, was in September. And the Lord spoke to me at the airport. He spoke to me in Yoruba. It was strange. Why are you speaking to me? You have been speaking to me for 30 years. You have never spoken to me in Yoruba. It was a setup. I turned to Gabriel. Gabriel said, yes, God just told me this. If I will say it in Yoruba, he said, Majemui Ron. In other words, there from today is covenant of his. I'm like, oh, you could have just said covenant of his. Why do you have to speak in Yoruba? You know, you know, there are things about your future that God will not bother telling you now. Because it will overwhelm you. And that's the beauty of praying in tongues. You are praying out the mysteries. You are praying out the mysteries. You are praying out the mysteries. And before you know it, it turned into a river. And you are serving everywhere. Listen, there's depth in you. Don't die like this. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, don't what? Die like this. Die like this. I'm in my 50s. But I know there's still a lot to my life. Because what I've seen the last 5 years, if anybody had told me, I would have said, how? I mean, as when I was turning 50, I was doing well. But the last 5 years has shocked me. Now I've become a crusade man. I'm going back. I'm having a crusade in Mushi next month. We already secured a 1,000-seat auditorium that will be the church. That's true. You know Mushi very well now. Yes. They sent me the picture. I said, yes, this is where we start Sunday service. And I was so excited. Now I get excited about crusade more than any other thing. And nobody warned me about that. And it has always been me. So all those years in CAC, it was not for fun, no. It was not for fun. God is too intentional. He's too intentional. There's some Yoruba song now. I will pick it up. In fact, I would have sang it before. Mboluti, where did it come from? It's like, there are depths in you. There are depths in you. Don't die like this. Don't die like this. Don't die. Walk all the way. Walk all the way. This man is not just a doctor. And the delay is to get his attention. Don't die like this. Because God knows he loves books. You know, there are times God slows you down. He slows you down. He slows you down. He said, Uncle, slow down. Say, I'm a smart man. I'm intelligent. He says, slow down. In fact, he takes you to the prison sometimes to get your attention. There's an assignment which is bigger than Potiphar's house. You are getting carried away in Potiphar's house. It was never about Potiphar's house. It has always been through the palace. If I have to take you to the prison to ensure you are not distracted in Potiphar's house, I will take you there. Somebody say, oh, what a setback. It's not a setback. It's a divine strategy. Don't die like this. Come on, have you been blessed tonight? Don't die like this. Don't die like this. You will marry, you will buy a car, but life is not about. Now, coming from somebody who has bought cars, I've given cars. The other day I was telling my PA, the car I wanted to buy was fighting. He says, sir, you are bigger than that car. We have to buy the car. I'm like, it's just a car. He said, no. He said, we have to upgrade. It has to be the car that it opens like this. I say, it's a car. Whether it opens like this or it opens like this, it's a car. He said, no. I said, Deji, please change your topic. That is not what my life is about in this season. My life is about serving a generation. Don't die like this. Don't die like this. Lift up your hands unto heaven. Do the work. Walk all the way. Cover the 4,000 cubits. Don't die like this. Don't settle for less. Go all the way.